And in this National Science Week, we also ask whether climate can be funny. Why not ask two comedians? And you know that humour needn't necessarily be truthful. For example, the old question, what is so very special about the city of Glasgow? Well, it looks just the same after a nuclear attack. As for climate, here's Patrick Cook on loan from Counterpoint.
Climate change is a tautology. There is no such thing as the climate, no fixed and frozen moment. Climate changes whenever it feels like, at whim, in accordance with no predictable plan. That is what makes it so full of wonder and such fun to study. The present climate change fuss has occurred because some people want to be able to blame some other people for climate and persuade us to give them all our money and power over all our lives to stop it. A happy consequence of this scam is that we are all taking much more interest in science, the way we used to when children's magazines were full of rockets and volcanoes and X-ray glasses that could see through clothing, when garden sheds routinely exploded from amateur chemical experiments, when bicycle mechanics learnt how to fly. And the spur to this renaissance of popular science is that the climate science isn't in, it keeps on coming in. The original report from the UN's IPCC 21 years ago turned out to be fraudulent, based on the yearnings of a few old friends who faked their homework. Al Gore's film turned out to be a work of fiction, predicated on the premise that the Earth, the Sun, the weather, and the history of mankind revolved around Al. Mr. Gore, in fact, is rather like the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. Pull away the curtain, and all you have is a florid old carny, with a Foley artist bag of cheap special effects. You can actually see the strings. History was discarded to make the new climate science seem credible. The old climate science had to go, along with astrometeorology, volcanology, seismology, chorology, potomology, and anything distracting to do with the seas. School geography is now the study of whales. Our old friend dendrochronology was admitted to the cult, gave some wrong answers, and was asked to go away. Even the crusty ancient pillars of physics and chemistry had to be re-educated, since they were too old school and could not grasp the new need to begin with conclusions and then scurry about for evidence. Purges were launched. Scientific journals became tracts. Whole careers were herded onto sealed trains at night and taken east. Indeed, there is an unpleasant whiff of ethical cleansing about the new climate science. This has been noticed. Doubts are expressed. Raspberries are blown. The blogs are alive with the cries of bullshit. Regrettably, by the time this dodgy prospectus was exposed, an arsenal of computer projections was trained on the near future. We would bake, we would starve, we would vanish beneath the waves, and we would share this dilemma with millions of climate refugees and floundering polar bears, unless we gave someone important all our money. Every single one of these projections has been wrong. That is why the current range of projections has been aimed at the way distant future, to 2050 and 2100 and 3100, when all the projectionists will be rich and dead. But instead of buying this, we the people have begun to ask, if these people don't know what is going to happen, they don't have a clue what is causing it, do they? And the science keeps on coming. In the past month, for example, we have learnt from NASA that the planet is not warming, has been cooling for a decade, because heat is escaping as easy as you please. Another study reassures us that the seas are not rising more than they should, a little less, if anything. Even better, this happy finding was reached by an expert asking the world's harbour masters what's been going on these past 200 years, rather than closing his eyes and firing a computer projection. There is nothing so reliable as gumboots on the ground. Then our leading barrier reef expert delighted us with the news that the reef is flourishing and blossoming as before, and the ice caps to the north and south are also going about their business, expanding here, contracting there, to the usual timetable of their own choosing. The man who first told us all the polar bears would drown has been taken away for questioning, but this is the only discordant note. And since this has all taken place in the backwash from the humongous coal-fired, permanent floating Chinese stimulus, we are all better informed about natural cause and effect. The political science is certainly in. Politicians have long sought the alchemist's stone, the don't-argue alibi to do whatever they like with other people. In the last century, one gang tried class, another gang tried race, and the present gang is running with the weather. One consolation is that we may all become more spiritually alert. God and Gaia and nature herself will not be mocked. That is why the climate convention in Copenhagen was covered in snow, along with the whole northern hemisphere, followed by a year of earthquakes and volcanoes, and even a plague of locusts over Melbourne. There are benefits from God and Gaia and nature's increasingly irritated attempts to teach these buffheads a lesson about the real world. Their perfectly good plan to force all farmers off the land by cutting off their water was rudely interrupted by the heavens turning it on. Not only does the Murray Darling flow wastefully into the sea once more, it flows all over the place. Perhaps a polite memo to God and Gaia and nature might read, "Good point, well made. Please stop now. Please make the same point somewhere else, like the Sahara. Amen." Meanwhile, our rim rattles with earthquakes and volcanoes are busting out all over, just to remind us that there are more things in heaven and on earth than in any human manifesto, and they have more impact on the weather than your beer fridge.
Well, that was Patrick Cook, friend of Al Gore. And here, also doing a stand-up, is the man from Melbourne who once did tours invading private dinners as he carried a dead chicken on a stick, Rod Quantock.
Albert Einstein said, "Only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former." Time has shown that Einstein was right to be sceptical about the universe. It has limits and bounds in space and time. So we stand at the end of 10,000 years of cumulative human curiosity, observation, analysis and proof, and science may be close to knowing everything we can know. It knows our DNA and how to separate conjoined twins. It knows how to make our hair shinier and how to make the far reaches of the universe visible. And science measures the pulse of the planet. The prognosis? We are about to open the gates of hell and throw our children through them. It's the climate, you see. We're changing it. And as far as the climate is concerned, a change is as good as a Holocaust. But before we go any further, take a moment to complete the following questionnaire. I, A, don't expect to be alive in 2050, or I, B, do expect to be alive in 2050. If you answered A, you're a winner. You have lived a full, happy, healthy life in the best of all possible carbon-fueled worlds. In your wake, a decades-long trail of ecological devastation and unnatural carbon dioxide emissions. But hey, you won't be around when the CO2 really hits the fan, so jackpot, you win! If you don't want to know what happens when the CO2 really hits the fan, and believe me, you don't, stop listening now. Spare yourself the torments of pitiless despair and remorseless guilt, and change stations. We'll give you a minute. Tick, 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 tick. If you're still listening, why don't you join those who answered B and follow me? Okay, here we are. Make yourselves comfortable. Tea, coffee and Nembutal are over there. Right, well, let's not beat around the bushfires. The climate is changing. The science has been in for decades. And not just any science, it's every science. Physics, chemistry, biology, geology, paleontology, microbiology, meteorology, and 100 other mutually informed ologies all know we are changing the climate, how we are changing it, and how fast we are changing it. It's really fast. The symptoms of our rising fever are evident everywhere. The hottest day, the hottest month, the hottest year, the hottest decade, the longest drought, the worst floods, the worst fires, the worst storms, the highest rate of species extinction. And all these symptoms will increase in fury, sweeping away the livelihoods and lives of millions. Hunger, disease and resource wars will take millions more. If we do nothing about climate change, and incidentally, what are we doing about climate change? Altogether now, nothing. If we do nothing about climate change, by the 2050s, unquenchable bushfires will roar their way into our sprawling outer suburbs, making Black Saturday look like Pancake Tuesday. Tens of thousands will flee the flames to the inner cities. Power will fail, services will collapse, food shortages and heat will gnaw at the population, riots and looting will explode on the streets, and the Australian Open will be cancelled. And that's just the beginning of the end. If you answered B, panic. Nature will be unable to adapt to the speed of the changing conditions in the gas chamber of our choking atmosphere. Forests and reefs will become deserts and ice caps will melt. Do you really want to be the one who tells the kiddies that Father Christmas drowned? Everything from worms to civilization will be extinct within the lifetime of a child born today, and their children, should they make it, will make it with as little as 10% of all things bright and beautiful to keep them company. Sorry, God. These are not the rantings of a madman. If you want the rantings of a madman, you'll have to go to any one of the many deluded fossil fuels and unctuous toadies who swing from the teats of the Dark Lords of Carbon. There is no time for the denier, no room for the sceptic, and no punishment too great for the liar. Climate science isn't a fraud or a swindle. Science has no ulterior motive, no hidden agenda. It isn't a socialist conspiracy to overthrow capitalism or a plot to create a one-world government. Climate scientists aren't dishonest, and they don't make it all up just so they can wallow in the rivers of gold that flow from the public purse into research. So let's just get it over and done with now. Anyone who denies human-induced climate change is either A, willfully ignorant, B, a buffoon, C, an ex-PR consultant to the tobacco lobby with a lifestyle to maintain, or D, a big fat liar. Tick a box, deniers and sceptics, and please note you may tick more than one box. Whatever you tick, will you just go and stand over there with David Irving and shut up? And for the rest of you, start screaming. Oh, and did I mention the oil is running out? Continue screaming.
Rod Quantock screaming for National Science Week. Two comedians summing it up. Take your choice.